Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
All right, we're here. We're here, dear listeners, for I don't know how we gonna do this episode because I ain't ready.
So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And Meech Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
So if you're seeing the episode title, we are doing a mid-season review of The Last of Us Season 2. So we're going to be covering episodes 1 through 4. And then later on, once the season wraps up, we're going to finish with episodes 5 through 7 of Season 2 of The Last of Us. With that, definitely a lot to get into. But for quick housekeeping, next week on the main pod, we are going to be doing an Uchiha character study, kicking that off our 3-week series. So we're going to be covering Itachi, Sasuke, and Madara Uchiha. So just kind of like learning the story of the Uchihas in the main Naruto storyline. And then also on our sub reviews, we are also reviewing Andor Season 2. So we just dropped the reviews of episodes 7 through 9, so we will be also covering the finale of that if you want to check it out as well. So before we jump into the sadness and devastation that is The Last of Us, let's hit him with that legal spiegel.
The purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
So usually with our main movie podcast, we kind of like to recap the whole movies, just hitting the main plot points and then getting to the different talking points. For the episode reviews, we like to do it slightly different, make it a lot briefer. And since we are covering episodes 1 through 4, we are just going to cover the main talking points, of which there is one specific one if you have watched episode 2 of the season. So with that, Meech, what is kind of like any pre-spoiler chat? Because I know you played the game. I just watched the game playthrough of it, so I'm aware of most of what happens with it. How are you feeling so far about the season?
Well, I can say that this season, this pulls no punches. It is very accurate to the games, with very, very, very minor, differences in there. Like, difference so minor, like something I didn't even catch them until I saw videos on it. But as I said, very good, it's actually very speedily paced.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me question, like, how in the world they gonna get through all of it? How in the world did y'all get through all this quickly?
Yes,
but yeah, like as I said, like it's one of them ones.
So then with that, we get into the pulse of the people. So this is how people in general are feeling about the show. For what I've been hearing, obviously people still love the show. Episode 2 was this, we all had to take a moment to grieve, especially people that have played the game. We're still not getting into spoilers yet, but for people that have not played the game, that was kind of like the episode where people were in shock. And then even leading on to 3 and 4, just kind of going from there. So people are still rocking with The Last of Us. What have you been hearing?
Oh no, nah, they definitely love The Last of Us, but they going after a certain specific character for a very specific reason. Almost very, very much the same reason a certain thing happened in the game too, and what they tried to do with the voice actress. But yeah, other than
that main thing?
Yeah, people are rocking the show after a certain episode. I know some tears were shed by a bunch of people. So yeah, as I said, it pulls no punches and people are loving it for it.
All right, so we are going to get into the breakdown and brief recap of episodes 1 through 4. If you have not watched at minimum episode 2, turn off the pod, pause it, watch episode 2, and then come back. That is the last spoiler warning we are giving you before we jump into it. All right, so recap in 3, 2, 1.
All right, and how I'm doing is that I'm basically going to just give a very, very short recap, and then we can, like, break it down and talk about, like, the main points as either as we talking about it, or in this case, since I'm basically going to, like, speed run in, like, a couple sentences, say it as, like, probably afterwards. So the first episode, Future Days, you know, it starts, you know, with a basically going into like what happened last season, like the very last lines, like where Ellie was asking like, hey, did what you tell me about like how you saved me, was that true at St. Mary's Hospital? And he's like, yeah. He's like, okay. And they decide, and then they decide to like move to Jackson, Tennessee. And then we have some
that's Wyoming.
Oh, Jackson, Wyoming. My bad. That's how you know I don't know my stuff. But yes, you got the surviving Fireflies. They thinking like, okay, what are we gonna do? And then you got a certain person named Abby's like, oh yeah, nah, we going after Joel, and we gonna get our get back. So yeah, then it cuts to 5 years later. 5 years later, and things are rocky. Things are very rocky between Joel and Ellie. And like they're very strained in their relationship. You got Joel who's going to a therapist named Gail, who turns out he killed her husband.
Yes, off screen apparently.
Yeah, he offed Eugene off screen. And basically Joel is essentially like he's very saddened by the fact like, oh yeah, he saved Ellie. Basically dooming the rest of humanity to the virus, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's just saddened by like how their relationship is going. So throughout all this, you get Ellie and like her growing new like relationships with Jesse, my boy, and Dinah. Or Dina.
Dina,
my bad. That's how you know I say things. So Dina, right? She's, you know, she's a new girl on the block. She out here. She good. She good peoples. And while her and Ellie, you know, they're out on patrol one night, and they see an infected stalking them, if you will. Which I'm not gonna lie, I was terrified at that point. I'm like, oh no, not the stalk. Why you bring the stalkers into? But it's like, oh yeah, it's Last of Us 2, my bad. But yeah, so they see that it was an infected that was stalking them, and they're like, oh crap, these infected, they're becoming smarter.
Mm-hmm.
They becoming locked in, if you will, and all the people, they're scared, like, hey, if they getting way too intelligent out here, like to the point where they're out here killing bears in groups, what's gonna happen when they start forming a coalition?
We in trouble.
Yep. Everybody's screwed. So it cuts over. We get like a party, right? We get like the main party scene that people like saw through the Last of Us game trailer / gameplay video, and all of it. You see like Ellie and Jesse. You know, they just talking. It was like, yeah, it's hard being at a party when you're single. Trust me, been there, done that. I'm sure you have too. It's rough out here when people are dancing.
Why you put my business out in the streets?
Don't worry about all that, because everybody's business is getting aired out this week. All right. So, and then, yeah, but while that's happening, Dina comes over. She grabs Ellie. They, you know, they basically drunk. They flirting one another, and then they end up kissing at the party. And then Seth decides to open up his mouth. I almost wanted to crash out then and there.
Dude, can we talk about this, dude? We're in an apocalypse, man. Chill out. Like, Are there not bigger things to worry about than to hold like all your hatred in your heart? Dude, we are literally have zombies at our door.
You know good and well, like if any of the named characters, if Dina or Ellie was black, you know he'll add
Words.
Yeah,
A
he'll
word.
add a certain word, a certain hard R, if you will, to the homophobic slurs as well. But because of that situation, Ellie was about to go at this man, but then Joel decided to step in. No, Papa Bear, lay this man right on out, which I'm like, yeah. But then Joel. Ellie decides to turn her anger on Joel. I'm like, hey, yo, like, come on, man. This my dog. Like, you can't be doing my dog like that.
It's tough even, like, relating that to the game and just their history together because she is like, hey, Joel, did you lie to me about this situation? And I think we both know that she does know he lied to her with that, and then it might get covered later on in the season, not trying as well, but with just the hatred that she, well, not hatred, it's just like anger and like sense of betrayal, because like she knows she could have done something for humanity, but the crazy thing is she doesn't know the cost, and only Joel knows the cost, which is what he had to hold on to for 5 years, which eventually leads us into episode two.
Yep. So episode two, Through the Lodge. All right. So we get Abby. Oh, good Lord. Episode two. All right. Wait, hold on. I need to brace myself for this.
Breathe.
Because this is the episode. All right. This is the episode everybody been dreading. If you played Last of Us 2, you knew this was coming. Yeah. We just didn't expect it to be this quickly. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
Well, in the game, it was quick too, like relatively.
Yeah, but with a big name like Pedro Pascal, you'd think that it'd be like an episode three type of deal. Like maybe they had a filler or something.
I mean, we're dancing around it, but if you watch the episode, Joel dies at the end. We'll cover the lead up to it, but Joel dies at the end brutally. But the showrunner said that the reason he did it so early, like episode two, is because for those that played the game, it would be like torture to them if he dragged it out. And then for those that didn't play the game, they would get spoiled, or they would find out that he dies. So he was like, hey, we just gotta get this over with.
All right, here we go. So Abby and all the crew, they found their way to Jackson. Also, there were some infected tendrils there too, which is good heavens. So Abby, you know, she out here, she got one track mind out here to kill Big Joel. But everybody else like, hey, you should probably retreat because these folks ain't playing around, right? So what happens is Abby ends up activating some hordes, if you will, in the snow. But then
that was scary.
Like she ends up doing that, and it caused all types of pandemonium. And she ends up getting saved by Joel,
just
by Joel and Dina, which is like, bruh. So the horde goes in. People dying left and right, casualties all the way crazy, and essentially like at this point, this is where it happened. So Abby, she lures Joel to and Dina to a lodge where Dina, she gets taken out, not killed, but you know she gets knocked out, and then and Abby, she ends up.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Revealing herself, like, hey, I was the doctor for the I was the doctor's daughter.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I was the doctor of the Firefly's daughter. And it's like, you killed him. Mm. So now I'm here to get my get back. And first she shoots him in the leg with the shot, with the shoddy, gets a tourniquet and does it way too tight, beats him senseless with the golf club. But then as soon as Ellie decides to enter the lodge, she gets restrained. And then
Ellie's
Abby stabs him in the neck, stabs Joel in the neck.
All right, so just quick game deviations with that. The attack on Jackson in the game does not happen by the Horde. So that was definitely an interesting turn, because in the game, it was Tommy and Joel. Well, Tommy was with Joel when Joel died, not Dina. So that was a switch, an interesting switch. And then something where the rage initially for the game at this point, there's more rage later on in the game. But at this point, something that was... people are raging about is that Tommy said Joel's name, and in the previous games Joel was always like, hey, we don't use names out in the field because we have to be careful, we can't just be like throwing our names around. And so that was something like in the game initially when it dropped, people were mad because they were like, hey, Joel would never do this, he wasn't so dumb, why would he just say his name like this? And then now it was Dina doing it, but obviously she didn't even know that Abby was around at the time. It was just the two of them. Yeah. So that was like, I liked how they did that. But oh boy, man, when Ellie just came in and she had a chance to save Joel and immediately got like snatched up with that. That was tough. And then on the other side of it, with the attack on Jackson, which was a interesting addition to him, we see the Cordyceps. And again, this was introduced in season one, where we see that the virus is like a Horde, and if you touch like one of the roots, they automatically know where you are. And just Tommy almost getting clapped because of the bloater, is that what they're called, right?
Yep.
So, and him having to do the flamethrowers, you see the two people that were on flamethrower duty, they fold it like cheap laundry.
Man, man,
you gotta go.
Look, at that point, like, bro, you just had
you gotta go.
just pack it up.
You can't stay here no more.
Mm-mm, you immediately fought. As a matter of fact, good luck.
So that was tough. So I think we can talk about the first two episodes here.
Yeah.
Three questions. Well, I guess two questions, and the third one kind of leads into episode three. Was Joel right in what he did in saving Ellie? And then on the opposite side, is Abby right in getting revenge on Joel?
All right. So, well, you got to take it in like multiple contexts. So like in Joel's case, like, hey, is Joel right in saving Ellie? Is he right in dooming all of humanity, or like basically like, you know, ending whatever chance they had for a cure by saving Ellie? Was he right in that? That's the question. Is like the needs of the many versus the needs of the few. It's the classic moral quandary.
The needs of the me. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I said needs of the few. By few, I mean one. And many would like, there's much discourse on that. Like many would say that Joel wasn't right, because again, like with his character and with his story, it's like, hey, he already lost his main daughter. Like he lost his actual daughter. And now he grew and bonded with this kid, mm-hmm. basically becoming a surrogate dad and like regaining like that part of himself, like regaining that humanity that he swore that he locked off and got rid of, mm-hmm. only to hear like, oh yeah, this one person who you have truly bonded with, like who you basically like start slowly opening your heart to, is gonna die in order to save all of humanity. If you were put into that situation, what are you gonna do? I know for me, that's going to be rough.
It's also tough because if you think about it from Joel's perspective, he didn't know they were going to kill her. He like thought that they were just going to, you know, take some blood samples, do what they need to do, some extractions. And then when he finally delivers her after this long journey, it's like, hey, we're going to cut her brain open and kill her. But it's for the good of humanity. What are you going to do? That was tough. I don't know, because in some talk says that the cure wouldn't have worked because they actually had non-infected before and the trials hadn't worked. But then on the other case, it's like, hey, those weren't like true, not infected. So it's tough. A lot of people would have done what Joel did is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. Like, what would I do? I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. That's like basically for our anime viewers. Remember in Demon Slayer where Tanjiro had that choice between saving his sister Nezuko, who was burning alive, or go kill the demon that was about to kill some people. What would you gonna do? And Tanjiro literally could not choose before the choice was made for him.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think like I would be in that situation. Like I'd be kind of like the Tanjiro where I wouldn't know what to do. And either a choice would be made for me, or literally like I would just blank out and just do something. And who knows, like if I was gonna be right, but good heavens.
And I think what The Last of Us, the obviously the game introduced it, and then with the TV show following it, is the morality in an apocalypse. Because on the flip side, we have Abby, where she sees, hey, my dad was an innocent doctor. This yep. random madman went and killed not just my doctor, but a whole bunch of other people. Well, not just my doctor, not just my dad, but a whole bunch of other people, wiping the Fireflies out of existence. I don't know who you are. I don't know what your reasons are. Like all that, hey, we bonded and stuff doesn't matter. You killed my dad. I got to get my get back. And with that, getting her revenge 5 years later, what is so interesting about it, I know people were mad about this initially. There are going to be other parts that people were mad about as we progress in the season and as the game progresses that we won't touch on here. But with that, it's tough. Imagine in John Wick, you know, the crazy thing is in John Wick, the high table is right after John Wick 1. In John Wick 2, 3, 4,
yep.
The high table is absolutely right in what they did. He came back when he wasn't supposed to, and he needed to honor the codex thing that in
the
John Wick 2.
Blood oath.
Yes. So he needed to honor that. And then at the end of 2, he killed within the Continental. You're not supposed to do that. So he was wrong in 3. The high table was 100% right. But the thing is, we stuck with his perspective and we understood why he did it.
Yep.
This was so interesting with The Last of Us. It gives us Abby's perspective. And if you just flip Abby and Joel, where it's like, hey, let's say in season 1, Abby kills Ellie. And then in season 2, Joel's like, hey, I got to go kill Abby. Joel would be 100% like justified if you just like flip the roles, which is insane.
Yeah, that also, again, like goes to show just like how much like perspective bias we have. That's actually a good term I just came up with. Yeah, perspective bias, where in which because we follow like a certain character with their perspective, everything they have going on, we can understand that character and where they're coming from. However, not everybody's gonna have it. In this case with Abby, she doesn't know all of the workings of like what Joel had to like go through and like his inner workings. To her, she just sees like a crazy man come in, murder everybody, take this girl and leave.
Yes.
Like to her, it's just like, to her, Joel is 100% in the wrong. And and like the moral quandary of that is like, hey, if you were put into that situation where like, hey, you just like out here living your life, and then you see your parent get murdered by this axe crazy man in the apocalypse, and then leave, what you gonna do?
It's interesting that you asked that, especially with the first question you asked, is would you do what Joel did? The thing with that question that you just asked, everybody does what Abby does. Everybody does what Abby does, like without the context of knowing Joel at all. And that's the tough part, but at the same time, you hate her so much because you are in love with Joel and his relationship with Ellie. So that's tough as they explore it. I don't think they're going to wrap up the game by the end of season 2. I know season 3 is supposed to be the last season, so that's probably why they do it, because there's a lot to get into. But from there, we can go to episode 3.
Yep. So All right, so basically it's 3 months after that. Ellie, she's swearing revenge on Abby. You're starting to see, the poison, if you will. The poison of revenge. Hey, one person wants to get revenge on another person, and that person's and then another person wants to get revenge on them for that.
And listeners, remember that he said that, the poison, because that stays with us throughout the rest of the series.
Yep. And also, in the words of a great anime antagonist, it's about the cycle of hatred. All right, so we got 3 months after that, after the situation, you got Dina and Joel, like they're in Seattle right now because of, again, Jackson ain't Jackson no more. So
They
they're at
said, nah, we
the
can't send nobody.
They're at a townhouse, like a town hall meeting, essentially. Like Ellie, like she wants to persuade the people, like, hey, let me go on this mission to go, like to send a group out to get justice. Get justice instead of revenge for Joel's death.
I would
But
say that 16 people is way too much.
and sometimes it ain't. You say it's too much, man. In that case, hey, it might not be enough. You know what I'm saying? Because you gotta have fodder in there to get off by the infected. You gotta have the fodder, to get taken out. Because you can't have the core group get
But
killed.
I feel like it's just too big of a group, though,
Yeah.
to move together. Even though I know you're trying to get revenge, but yeah, go for it.
Yeah. But yeah. Any case, like Ellie, she's like, you know what? Screw y'all. I'm gonna go myself. Dina decides she wants to join, and yeah, they're basically on that angle. You got oh wait okay 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 got it got it got it got it. I almost lost my place for a second. Almost lost my place. All right, so oh yeah, almost forgot Tommy's reaction. Like he.
Said it because he lost, and it's crazy. Like what? Like we mentioned, the changed from the game. Tommy was there when Joel died, and in the game, but
Yep.
for how they switch it up for the show, he was in Jackson, and he watched the massacre of people, and they barely survived it. And then once they survive it, obviously you have to mourn the people as the leader of the group. And then you find out, hey, your brother got killed by humans, and it has nothing to do with the zombie infection. And even just like parts of episode two where he was like, hey, call on the radio for Joel. And he was telling the girl that was operating the radios every 10 seconds, ask Joel to kind of report in. So him, having to, at the start of the episode, if we talk about two reactions, him having to, clean the body of his brother,
Yep.
devastating. And then also with Ellie, where she wakes up from the hospital out of her coma because she got attacked at the end of that episode two,
Yep.
and she wakes up screaming because the last thing she remembers is seeing her dad essentially be murdered right before her eyes, and she's holding on to the pain and hatred. Well, the pain of we were beefing, and it was on my end for these last, let's say, all 5 years,
Yeah.
maybe at least a year
I
minimum.
say
But
at
like,
least three.
so like for these past few years, we're beefing on my end, and I closed myself off to Joel. And then with her conversation with Dina, she was like, "Yo, we're always going to be Ellie and Joel. At the end of the day, we're just in a rough patch right now." And to never make peace with that is tough.
Yeah, very, very much so. And also another thing is like, hey, like Ellie's evaluation with Gale, where like she's like, hey, like, oh yeah, she asking about like her feelings and whatnot, and Ellie's like, nah, I'm good, like walling herself off to Gale. And then later on, as like Ellie is about to leave, Tommy like talks with Gale, and he's like, hey, I think Ellie might go off the deep end on this. And she says this really crazy line. It's like, hey, some people can't be saved from themselves and their actions. Tough.
If it
Tough.
follows the game.
Yep. So yeah, so Ellie and Dina, they're about to leave. Old Seth,
redeemed himself.
Seth decides to give him the supplies and the horse, you know, after he got laid out that one time. And he decides, hey, just leave quietly. And then, of course, and then Ellie leaves the coffee beans on Joel's grave. Great. But yeah, so...
Just one more quick thing with Seth. He was the only person to really help Ellie's cause in sending people to attack WLF, which is what the former Fireflies, Abby and her group, are now associated with, who are in Seattle. But Seth was like, hey, we can't just roll over. And he essentially said what Ellie was feeling, because Ellie had to give the PG version of that speech.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. So, yeah, so Dina and her leave. They pretty much talk about the kiss that happened, you know, claiming that it means nothing. You know, it absolutely means everything to them. And they come across some Seraphites, including the girl, which causes Dina, which said, like, hey, she just vomits out because of it. I'm like, agreed. And then they arrive in Seattle. They don't see any WLF. Instead, you get a whole convoy.
To end the episode.
A whole convoy leading to episode 4.
Yeah, so of episode 4, we open up with, it's Fedra, and they're in a car. We see Joss Peck, which I didn't know until after the episode was over, which was crazy, but giving a story of essentially like how they took out civilians and call them voters. So then one bright-eyed bushy-tailed dude is like, yo, why do we call them voters? And then we see Jeffrey Wright's character. Apparently he was, I didn't know he was the voice actor of the same person in the game.
Yeah.
But
oh yeah, we'll they bring a lot of like the voice actors back in to play the main characters.
Interesting. So we see Jeffrey Wright, he come in and he's like, hey, we call them voters because we took their rights. And you know, he seems like one of those like grizzled veterans that are at the end of the rope. So they're in the truck, get blocked off, giving me Negan vibes, the introduction of Negan. So he walks out, he's like, yo, just chill here. I'm gonna go talk to him real quick. And so the people they're talking to is the WLF at the time. So he's like, hey, are you this person? She goes, hey, are you Isaac? Yeah. Goes back into the truck, looks at the one dude that, you know, there was still hope for, and goes, hey, come out real quick. Come with me. And then once they get the confirmation, he just takes out two grenades, tosses it in, closes the door, and kills them, which is crazy. And then looks at the young tow after shooting the driver and goes, hey, make your choice. You with us or you with them, the dead ones? And that's just kind of like how the episode opens. And that's 18, well, at least 2002, I believe.
I think it was 2018.
Yeah, because there's a time jump. Yeah, so it's earlier on, and then there's a time jump. And then you see that he is in a kitchen just, you know, randomly speaking, you know, giving the villain speech about how he wanted these pots because he couldn't talk to him. And so he had to cook for him, a finesse. So with that, he heats up one of the skillets, and then he turns around and we just see a butt naked Seraphite, a.k.a. Scar, is what the WLF called him. And it's torture season.
Ooh, yeah, it is. But as we get off of that, right, we cut ourselves right back to Ellie and Dina, you know, out here exploring the Seattle wastelands. You see Dina like taking a certain test. You're like, what's going on there?
mm-hmm.
Oh no. But yeah, so they see like the aftermath. They basically see like every, like what happens after that, and then they decide to hide in the music store. It's like, dang, where we see Take On Me getting played by Ellie. But yeah, so they stay the night, but then like later on they encounter more like disemboweled soldiers. They seem more dead than anything else. Dina vomiting all the way. They invade a whole squad, escaping through the subway. Which was very tense. The WLF, they attract some infected along their way. They get murked. And Ellie and Dina, they trying to fight. They running for their lives. And then And then Ellie, and like Dina was about to get bitten, so Ellie decides to step in and she allows herself to get bitten in the arm to save Dina, so they escape. And basically, like, Dina, she's like, she got old girl in a, I was about to say old boy, old girl in a, with the toolie right to her head. It's like, hey, you infected.
Don't make this hard.
Like, don't, like, just go out quietly. Just, we can do this the easy way, we can do this the hard way. The choice is yours.
You know what the funny thing is? Like, if we were in that situation and I saw you got bitten, you'd be like, Demetrius, don't do it. I'm good. I'm like, man, I believe you, Meech. And then in the morning, half my neck would be eaten.
Wow. You really think I'd be dumb enough to get infected and not be immune? You know I'm him, all right? You know I'm him. I am not going to be infected. You know I got that immunity. My immune system on God tier, but...
That was even a tense scene after with Ellie just being like, hey, I'm not infected. Just chill here. You hold the gun. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to bandage myself up. You keep the gun on me the whole night. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to be good. Trust me. And then even her waking up, getting hit by like the water droplets and then making the faces. He's like, whoa, that's just the water. But ultimately finding out that and revealing to Dina that, hey, I'm not infected. And with them and then her revealing that, hey, I'm pregnant. So just that bond with overcoming out, essentially.
Yeah, like, and it goes, and that bond leads to them consummating their feelings for one another. So they smash, and then the next morning, that's when Dina confessed, like, hey, Jesse's the daddy, but she wants to be with Ellie. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, it's gonna be a polyamorous relationship, if you will.
I don't know if that's the perfect description of what their relationship is,
man, because you know, like, Jesse, like, he still like has feelings for her.
Yes.
And she like kind of has feelings too, but
swingers.
yeah very dang, that's crazy. But but yeah, so essentially, like, you know, Ellie's like, yeah, I want to be with you too. Uh-huh. You know, shout out to Kendrick. And so from there, they hear that, like, oh yeah, Abby's friend Norris, like, they are in the Lake Hill Hospital. And Dina's like, hey, we gotta go. And Ellie's like, nah, you need to lay low. You know, you got a whole baby. You got our baby in us. So, but Dina's like, nah, we going.
I'm not trying to hear it.
Nah, I'm going out. Nah, we fighting. So yeah, that's in episode 4.
And it's interesting because the whole context of they're heading into a war zone, along with the infection that already happened, and you can see, it's really interesting. Every time in The Last of Us, they're like, hey, this part of, you know, the world, this underground location, this building, there's no infected here. And then there's always a horde of infected that come out of nowhere. So it just kind of goes to show you that nowhere's safe, especially with the added dimension of wherever the root grows is essentially part of where the hive brain is. So it's almost everywhere all the time. So, man, I guess just with talking points, we now see Dina replacing the relationship aspect of Joel. Obviously, it's different, but that's the partnership that we're focusing on now at this section. And then Ellie is now the lead character, which is consistent with the game and definitely going to be interesting seeing her go down that descent that Joel was on in the early Last of Us Season 1.
Yeah, definitely. As I said, now Ellie has someone she wants to protect.
Well, two people, I guess, now.
Yeah. She got some people she wants to protect. But all of this is, again, still overshadowed by, like, her rage and, like, her wanting for revenge against Abby. Remember, all of this is so she can go get her get back.
Like, even with Dina, what she asked her is, she was like, hey, what if we run into any WLF that isn't Abby and her crew? And they didn't even have to speak. Ellie was like, with her eyes, you know what it is. Like, they gotta go. So that we're just going to see that, to sit with it. So unless you had anything else, we can get into just like opera MVP of the first half of the show.
Yeah, I definitely want to get to this, but again, as I said, the theme in Poison of Revenge is very evident in Last of Us Part 2. So, yeah.
All right. So, the obvious op of the first half has to be Abby. 5-year revenge mission to get Joel, and just the way she did it. And I mean, like when she was giving the villain speech and he was like, yo, come on with it. I'm not here for all that. If you're going to kill me, kill me. And she was like, no, you're not going to rush this. I'm going to take my time with it. I'm going to enjoy it. And just the brutality and ruthlessness of it. And it's so funny that they chose not to do Brolic Abby. But yes, but Abby is definitely the op of the first half.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, nah, because see, me personally, like, if I was in that situation, man, she getting it right to the kneecaps, and then
as who? As Joel?
As me. If I was Ellie in that situation, and I stumble across everything, nah, I'm coming in guns blazing, nah.
But man, Ellie, she kind of sold, because as soon as she went in, she immediately got snatched up. So
see, that's why I said it couldn't be me though, because as soon as I see my day one over on the ground,
it's over. Yeah,
kneecap. Well, firstly, her bodyguards, they getting taken out first, kneecaps, and then firstly I go kneecaps, spine,
Jesus. Spine.
Then non-lethally in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then as she like laying up bleeding, I may even slice her wrist while I'm at it too, you know, just to draw it out, because you ain't gonna do my day one like that. You getting tortured.
The only tricky part was that, what's her name? Dina was a hostage, but Ellie at the time did not know that. So she could, and man, if she just would have landed, she would have just came in right. She could have saved Joel.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, now I say like, hey, if Dina was a hostage, well, game is game. That's all I'm going to say. Game is game.
So do you have MVP where we can move to the questions?
Because
I don't have one yet.
I don't think there's any MVP right now. Again, like I can just say like, hey, Jesse was solid. That's about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so moving forward, we go into our big questions of the week. So this doesn't purely have to relate to the show. My question isn't related to the show, but Meech, what question do you have?
Oh, well, I think like my main big question is, if revenge only breeds revenge, when will it ever stop?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I feel like that's the question of a lot of different shows, and we're definitely going to get into it. With the show, my big question is, because I didn't play the game, but I like watched the gameplay movie, so I knew the big Joel dying scene. I know like tentpoles of it. I know the other part that people were really mad about in the middle of the game, unexpectedly, and then I know the ending. So with this, I wonder what other deviations that they will make in the show compared to the game, and then also about the pacing, because there's no way that, unless they just turn her into John Wick the next 3 episodes, that they are going to finish the Last of Us 2 in season 2.
Absolutely not. I do think, again, like with this pacing that they're on right now, the only way I can see like them finishing up the rest of the story is either one, they pull a, as you mentioned, like a John Wick, or in a very distasteful way, a Promised Neverland season 2, which I know they ain't gonna do. That's one. Or two, it basically everything spills over into season 3.
It would have to. I think they do it at the cliffhanger point. So yeah, with that, it's hard. So we're going to do predictions for next week in the big picture view. Without spoiling aspects of the game, what can you predict the storyline going into? Or maybe we should just avoid it altogether.
That's going to be, yeah, that's rough, because like, again, like the, because of the fact I know what happens
exactly.
Exactly afterwards. Let's just skip it because like there's no way I can say like my predictions.
Yes.
Except for the fact I know exactly what's gonna happen.
Exactly. So big picture view, just overall, we can talk about what the story is trying to portray. And I think that is, as we touched on a lot, is morality. And what I do appreciate about The Last of Us is that it does force you to think outside of, hey, revenge mission, let's go. And then it's forcing you to sit there and ask these questions of yourself, which I know we're not at the part where people were really livid yet. So I'll save it until that.
Yeah. We still got a little bit of time. It actually might end up high key being the midpoint.
I think so. Like once they switch. But with that, since we can't get into the predictions because we both are tangentially aware of what's going to happen next, we're going to get into the next segment of our What's Hot. So that is what's hot in anime, gaming, TV shows, movies, and comics and everything. So Meech, what you got?
All right, so in the realm of anime, again, we have all the big hitters back once again. We have our good old One Piece. You have good old, also the Dragon Ball Daima dub is almost finished. And they got to the part, y'all. Stephanie Nadomi, she... Actually, I'm not sorry at all. Also, speaking of Dragon Ball, they just announced that Dragon Ball is the highest grossing IP in Japan of 2024 and 2025.
Beating out like Pokemon and One Piece and all that?
Yes. The only one that actually came close was Gundam.
Wow.
Yeah, it is Dragon Ball, Gundam, One Piece.
Dang.
They the big three.
We love you. Yes. Dragon Ball.
Yes, yes. Praise to Akira Toriyama. RIP. Forever. But yes, continuing on. Go Loser Ranger, still out here being Go Loser Ranger. Sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's high stakes. We also have in the realm of comic books, all new Venom still happening. I'm just waiting for it to finish up. We got Amazing Spider-Man, which again, Peter's actually locked in for once. I'm like, he's actually getting himself back on track, but there's still the shadow that is Paul. We got Ultimate Spider-Man, which peak Spider-Man right now. I don't care what anybody says. We have ourselves like One World Under Doom because Doom is forever. Doom is forever. We got the Absolute DC verse because they just released image of Absolute Bane, who is an absolute monstrosity. Because if you don't remember, Absolute Batman's already like 6'8", 300 yes. soaking wet, and Absolute Bane towers over him. And apparently he's supposed to still be a regular dude, which I'm going to call cap on.
Are there absolute Robins in that universe?
Well, it's just Batman right now.
Okay.
Because it's still set during his early years.
Okay.
So still just Batman. Not all his rogues even got established yet. We don't know if he's going to have a Robin, what the Robin going to look like. And also they released like absolute Brainiac and
ooh.
Lord have mercy. I do not envy Kal-El at all. But yes, yeah, continuing on Spawn, and we're just moving on with that, right? We also have TV shows again, Last of Us Season 2. We also have Andor that is finishing up. We also have, I see what you just saw.
Yeah, I looked at Brainiac.
Yep. So you already understand. But yes, so we got, where was I? Oh, yeah, that's right. We're in TV shows. Yeah, Last of Us Season 2. Andor is about to finish up the week that you're listening to this episode, and our review is probably out on that. We also have Tales from the Underworld that has dropped on Disney Plus as well. So that way, hey, if you want to get more to the Underworld and also see how it ties in with Dark Disciple, you get your chances with that. And also into movies, Final Destination Bloodlines. It's Bloodline Rules.
Drops tomorrow as of this release date.
Yep, it's Bloodline rules. It's Bloodline rules. It's crazy. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Also in the I need to do this now because I am not going to forget this. In the realm of gaming, Dead by Daylight released a certain teaser, the Five Nights at Freddy's crossover,
Ooh.
and they released the killer. Well, they didn't release it. They showed the killer. You know who it is.
Good old Springtrap.
Yep. You know who it is.
Oh,
And they also revealed that one of his skins is the movie skin.
no, that's dope.
And not only that, a certain Matthew Lillard voices him.
That's sick.
Oh yeah, so I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to get right back into this game. So that's pretty much like the main things on my radar right now.
All right. The only thing is, because you covered most of it, one anime, Chubi Hero X, I started binging it this week. That anime is really good. The animation, I love how they switch it up, and it's similar to like what you mentioned with GoGo Lugia Ranger, where there are moments that are very lighthearted, and then there are moments where it's like, yo, this got dark super quick. So Chubi Hero X is definitely something to check out. And then another game, I haven't played it, but I heard that it's getting a lot of praise, is Expedition 33. Something that a lot of people have been talking about. And then obviously we mentioned it last week, but the episode kind of came out late. But we off the trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6 dropped.
Woo!
Unfortunately, we have the delay until 2026, so stay strong, my brothers and sisters
Hey,
in
I waited 10
gaming.
plus years already. You can wait one more.
We gotta tough it out. Do what you gotta do. So with that, we can wrap up from there. So let's get our plugs. Oh, some quick housekeeping. Again, as I mentioned, we will be having our review of Andor that has either dropped or dropping later in the week or next week as of this podcast release date. And then also next week on the main pod, we are doing our Uchiha character study. So we're covering Itachi first next week, but then we're going to get into Sasuke and then moderate Uchiha. So with that, let's get our plugs and get up out of here.
All right, so we got our Instagram, X-Form, known as Twitter and Threads under BlurCity22. Like, comment, subscribe, stay up to date on all notifications. We got our YouTube page and Patreon, Blurred City Pod. Come on, donate some extra cheddar, and you get access to some very exclusive episodes. After this, we also have our email address, blurcity22@gmail.com, where you can submit episode suggestions, review on episodes, and just questions for Q&A. And also, yeah, and then we also have our Discord linked on our Instagram page. Come join this fine community of degeneracy. We also have, in essence, our blurt. We also have, for me, the Jedi Born on Mustafar on TikTok and Instagram, however long we got TikTok left. So that's all I got.
All right, for my individual author pages, we have my Instagram, that is metri_dash, that is metri_dash. For my X slash Twitter, that is @themad-16. And if you're interested in my book, Phantom Reckoning, that is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes and Noble. So with that, we will leave you with some words of encouragement.
All right, so our words for me, my words of encouragement is one, lock in, always, that's the good one to have. But then also remember that if violence begets violence, then where does it stop? Choose peace over all else.
And another, just going off of that, on the quest for revenge, always dig two graves. So with that, it's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now. And that's the Blurred City Podcast.
See ya later.